Christian greetings to each one this morning. I have been blessed to be a part of this worship service. I say praise God for his word that we can have in our hands and privilege it is to have his spirit present to guide us into all truth. And it's my prayer this morning that God would again guide us into truth and show us what we need to hear. Years ago, a mother and daughter were planting a flower garden. The mother carefully planted the seeds in a neatly configured pattern until the phone rang. As she ran inside to answer it, her young daughter carefully continued the process of burying the seeds. That is, until she spilled the tray of seeds everywhere. Fearing how her mother might respond to her accident, she quickly covered the seeds with dirt and ended the process as if nothing had happened. When the mother returned to the garden, she could hardly believe how quickly her daughter had finished the task. "Did you follow my directions?" asked Mom. "Oh yes," she responded. "I planted all the seeds exactly like you did." But when spring arrived, it flourished with a contrary answer. The title of the message is The Immutable Law of Sowing and Reaping. I invite you to turn with me to Galatians 6, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 10 this morning. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I'm going to look at a number of points this morning about this immutable law of sowing and reaping. Number one, this law of sowing and reaping was instituted by God. God has put laws into place for nature. He's put laws into place for humanity as well. And God thought it best that this law of sowing and reaping would apply not only to plants, to agriculture, but to humanity. And you see a very neat comparison there. This law was instituted at the beginning of time and will continue as long as there is life. There is no possible way for anyone to get around this law. It applies to everyone. It is true for the believer as well as for the unbeliever. It operates no matter which way you turn. Verse 7 of Galatians here says it so clearly. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God instituted this connection between sowing and reaping. If you sow a seed, it's going to grow and it's going to bring forth some type of fruit. God created us creatures of choice. God gave us this wonderful freedom. And while he gives direction in his word on how and what we should sow, the choice is ours. God allows us to sow seed. And all of us are constantly sowing. We are busy people. We're always doing something, thinking something, saying something. And altogether, that makes up our character, who we are. The Lord warned Adam and Eve against partaking of the tree of knowledge. And when they ignored what he said, he didn't interfere. The consequences were sure. They became sinners and had to leave the garden and live with the effects and influences of sin and evil. Just last week in family worship, we read the story of Moses hitting the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. The Lord let Moses disobediently hit that rock when he was supposed to speak to it. And the reaping was Moses couldn't enter Canaan. The Lord didn't prevent Saul, King Saul, from taking of the spoil and offering that sacrifice, even though he told him not to. Saul's disobedience cost him his kingship. The connection between seed time and harvest is of divine constitution. God arranged it, and as hard as man may try to get around this law, they cannot. Point number two, I would like to look at some present-day deceptions concerning this law. We live in deceptive times. The scriptures tell us that men's hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And amazingly enough, there are people who may not believe this law to the extent they should, or don't think about it, or try to get around it. But verse 7, notice what it says in verse 7 of Galatians 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. In other words, we can't undermine this law of sowing and reaping and get away with it. We are only deceiving ourselves. We will be the fool. Just the other day, we realized we had a cucumber plant coming up right with our cantaloupe. And I guess cantaloupe seeds and cucumber seeds are very, very similar. If we want cantaloupe, we need to plant cantaloupe, not a seed that looks like a cantaloupe seed. It was a surprise. We thought we had planted cantaloupe, but the reaping showed that it was something else. And I think we can easily fall into some of these present-day deceptions if we are not careful. I think we must not accept the false thinking that life is unaffected by our actions and behavior. Sometimes it's hard for us to think through that when we're in the midst of a struggle. We just want to do what feels good. But we must not accept that false thinking that life is unaffected by our actions or behavior. There are also many today who are trying to get a good harvest without sowing good seed. There are many, many people who are expecting to get to heaven, even though they are living contrary to the Word of God. There are also those who seek a different harvest without seeing their need to sow differently or desiring to sow differently. Maybe there's a relationship struggle, and it's easy to see what the other person needs to do better in that situation rather than seeing what I need to do in sowing differently to make the end result different. I think everyone here probably looks or wishes for a good harvest. The difficulty is choosing to sow the good seed. Another deception that is so common is that we can sow what we want and think that the consequences will be minimal or tolerable. Many are shutting out thoughts of consequence and judgment out of their minds because sin is too much fun. Another deception is the fact that the harvest is delayed. Many times, my choices now will not reap an immediate harvest. We'll look at that a little more later. But people take this as a license to sin. Some don't have any intentions of ever confessing sin. Others may think they have plenty of time to live it up, and towards the end of their life, they'll confess and find forgiveness. There are so many deceptions, but I want us to remember this morning what verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. As we sow seed, there will come a time of reaping. The reaping will come. There's no way to get around this law. Point number three, the reaping will always be more than what we sow. This is God's design, and I'm so grateful for the bounty that we can get out of the garden, out of one little seed. It truly is amazing to think about the increase that one little seed brings forth. I'm also very sober to think about the reaping of the seeds that we sow in our lives. There is a multiplication effect that takes place when we sow seed, whether it's good seed or whether it's evil seed. I think it applies to both. Matthew 13:23, Jesus made mention of this multiplication effect. It says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The prophet Hosea warns about those who sow wickedness. Chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." Misery is one of the inevitable consequences of living in sin. But to the superficial observer, it may not seem that way. Many continue to live in sin, trying to find other answers to decrease that misery. Sometimes sin looks attractive. To some, sin looks like something that will bring happiness, while obedience only brings affliction and trouble. And that is not the case. Some are deceived into thinking that. Hosea says those who sow in sin are sowing to the wind. In other words, they are laboring in vain. Nothing will bring them good. They think that sin has something to offer them, but the reaping is the whirlwind. And the whirlwind represents calamity. The whirlwind will be sudden. They may receive warning, but pass it off, and then suddenly it comes upon them without warning. Judgment is sure. We are not promised tomorrow. The whirlwind will be irresistible. The reaping will be irresistible. It will have an overpowering effect that we will have no control over. It's just one of the things that we'll need to accept. The consequences for our choices, for the things we've sown. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the result of a life lived in sin. What we sow in daily choices is reaped in our character and could also be in the lives of others as well. Our influence on others through our very seemingly small choices is powerful. On July 20, 1969, Neil Armstrong was the first man to set foot on the moon. As he stepped onto the surface, he uttered his now famous line, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." That historic event happened almost 49 years ago, but those first footsteps are still there, undisturbed. In fact, NASA expects that those first footprints will be there for many, many years because there is no wind or water or animals to disturb them. As we walk through life, we leave imprints on others' lives that not only can last a lifetime, but can affect them for eternity. Our small choices make up our character. Habits are formed and others are influenced. And so the reaping of a seed that is sown is so much more than what we realize and think about so many times. So what am I sowing? And will I be happy with the reaping is a question I want us to think about this morning. Point number four, Sinful, fleshly sowing reaps corruption. Yesterday, I did some tilling for the neighbor. He is a very busy man, owns a flower shop, but has a hard time getting his own garden in. And so he was very late. Well, it's midsummer already, but he still wants to try to get a garden in. It was totally weeded over to the point that he needed to go through and mow it and then rake up the grass clippings before I could till. And as I was tilling, I thought about how weeds just naturally take over if it's not cared for. In our own lives, if we don't make a conscious effort to sow good seed, we will naturally revert to sowing to the flesh. The weeds will take over. King David fell into immorality when he allowed his heart to lust after another man's wife. And because of this, his son died. Jacob deceived his father Isaac in making him think that he was Esau. And through this, he received the blessing from his father. Later, Jacob received the same treatment from his uncle Laban. He was deceived. He had worked 7 years for Rachel, and Laban gave him Leah for a wife instead. We know the story of Jonah. Children, you remember that story, right? He made the choice to take his own way, take a boat and go a different direction than what God wanted him to do. Or where God wanted him to go. And it resulted in him being thrown overboard to die. But we see that God, in his mercy, sent a large fish to save him. You know, it's easy to look at these examples and think that we don't do anything quite so serious. But I want us to think this morning about the fact that we are sowing, and there will be a reaping for everything we sow. Jesus says that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Men, are we free from adultery? Are we dealing with those wicked thoughts that will plant immoral seeds in our hearts? We know what happened to David when he didn't control his passions. Suddenly, he was reaping the bitter consequences. Many men have fallen prey to lust and are reaping the consequences. One evil unchecked thought will lead us into sin. We need to guard our eyes and we need to guard our thoughts. What about selfishness? Do we view selfishness as something that is serious? Are we dealing with our selfish nature the way God calls us to? Rebekah and Jacob were determined that Jacob would get the blessing from his father at all costs. And we see that Esau was hurt in the process. Esau was distraught. What are we teaching our children by our example? We as fathers and mothers need to know what it is to be selfless. We are raising a generation that is learning and being influenced by my life and your life. Am I so involved in my self-interest that my children are being hurt and neglected? Or are they being nurtured in a godly way because I am selflessly giving of my time and resources for their eternal good? I certainly have much room for growth in this area myself. What I am sowing in parenting so many times is reaped in the character of my children. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." I like the way the ESV says it, "Let no man seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." You know, it's easy for us to go through life and think more about me than about the needs of my children or the needs of my brothers and sisters, the need to reach out and care for others. Let's read Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Here are a number of things mentioned, works of the flesh that I would like to just read over here. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." All these evil deeds have a reaping. And verse 21 tells us that this reaping won't be the kingdom of God. We will not be able to do these things and inherit eternity with God. It will result in eternity without God. We already talked about adultery, but what about idolatry? Are there any gods in my life or your life that are taking our allegiance away from the one true God? Are we serving the gods of this world? What about anger? Fits of anger. Talks about wrath here. What about envy? Murders. I don't think any of us want to ever be a murderer. But the Bible talks about he that hateth his brother is a murderer. There will be bitter consequences for these things, even though we may not reap the harvest immediately. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. Point number five, let's move on to some positive sowing. Sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life. Turn with me to Hosea 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, verse 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." The children of Israel were in a state of idolatry and fruitlessness. If you back up to verse 1 of the same chapter, it says, "Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself." We know that that is not God's plan for us to have an empty vine and bringing fruit of selfishness. And so we come down to verse 12, and the prophet pleads with them to break up this fallow ground, this ground that has been left barren, and be a people who seek the Lord and produce the fruit he is looking for. He says that if you sow in righteousness, or in other words, wholly follow the Lord, you're going to reap mercy. There will come a blessing instead of a curse. You see, when we sow to the flesh, we may enjoy the sowing to a certain extent because that is what our flesh likes. But we don't normally like the harvest that it brings. It does not produce a life of joy and fulfillment, but rather a life of sadness and emptiness. But when we are walking with the Lord and sowing good spiritual seed, there is not only joy in sowing, but there is abundant joy in harvest. It is a fulfilling life to walk with the Lord and to produce the fruit of the Spirit. I thought about the three young men who were taken captive into the land of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sowing good seed in a corrupt society was not an easy thing to do. They were young men. Very challenging to think about them going into this land of corruption and sowing good seed. But they did it anyways, because I believe they first of all wanted to follow the Lord, but they also thought about the bitter consequences if they didn't. Are we willing to stand alone and be a people who sow to the Spirit, even in the toughest situations? I challenge our youth here this morning to be willing to stand alone and choose to sow seed that will bring a good harvest. Negative peer pressure has caused many youth to fall into wrongdoing. Turn with me to Psalm 126. Let's think about this a little more. Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." These verses show us that it's not always easy to sow good seed. In fact, sometimes it can be extremely difficult because we have the flesh to deal with. And these verses show us this difficulty. The path through the Red Sea for the children of Israel and through the wilderness was not easy, but it led them to a beautiful land that was flowing with milk and honey. I would say that our flesh and the negative peer pressure around us are probably the two main things that can make it difficult to sow good seed. But what do these verses say? If you are one who will sow to the Spirit, no matter how hard it is, even if it is with tears, you will reap with joy. You will reap with joy. There will be no regrets. I invite you to flip back to Galatians 5 again. I'd like to continue reading where we left off. Galatians 5 and verse 22. We ended in verse 21 where it says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." This right here is what God wants us to sow. Spiritual fruit. We need a daily walk with God and have His Spirit within us to be able to bear these fruits. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's Spirit within us will be manifest by these fruits that are listed here. Let's just look at a few of these. What about love? Is love something that we are actively sowing. I thought of the Shunammite woman. We remember the story of Elisha passing by her house, and she begged him to come in for something to eat. And ever after, when he would be going that direction, he would stop by, and they would serve him dinner. Her and her husband eventually decided to build a room for him to stay in when he would come by. And you read the story, he was overwhelmed by their love and their compassion, their care for him. And this is what he said, "Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee?" And it goes on to say how Elisha wanted to commend her to the king. But her response was, "I dwell among mine own people." She was content with her lot in life and satisfied. She was not looking for recognition for this act of love. She did what she felt was her duty to do in reaching out in love. And God rewarded her for her selfless love. She had no children, and God gave her a son. God rewards acts of love. But I don't believe this was the motive of this woman. She was simply doing the will of God and sowing for eternity. Yes, she knew she would reap what she sowed, and she probably looked forward to the harvest. Is our service to others motivated by love? Are we spreading Christ's love to others through our acts of love, through our acts of service, reaching out to others, that selfless love? What about joy? Talks about joy here in these verses. Is my life filled with the joy of the Lord, or is there something that has destroyed that joy? One simple way to sow seeds of joy is to, first of all, have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And then allow it to be radiated on my face and through my life. A genuine, joyful demeanor will not go unnoticed. You know, a smile is so contagious. And the joy of the Lord is a tremendous way to show Christ to others. Live a grateful life. The influence is great. Long-suffering or patience is another one. Long-suffering means to have power to stand under a burden, power to endure, power to resist pressure, and the capacity to stand a tremendous strain. Are we able to endure pressure with God's help and let patience have her perfect work in us? We notice that impatience is not a fruit of the Spirit. And it will bring reaping. Outbursts of impatience can hurt others. Children and youth need patience in dealing with their siblings and parents. Parents, we need patience in relating to our children. As a brotherhood, we need patience with each other. We are all making marks on others for eternity. We're all affecting others. What kind of marks are they? What kind of seeds are we sowing? See, that temperance is another one. Something that needs to be a way of life for the child of God. I think we all know that if we sow intemperance in our eating habits, the reaping will be obesity. If we sow intemperance in being a workaholic, likely the family will suffer and likely our own spiritual life also. Temperance has a way of bringing order to life. When everything is kept orderly and in its proper perspective, then we can find blessing and serve God and others more fully. These are just a few things out of this list here. I'll let you all think about the rest and look for ways to apply them. But God would have us sow to the Spirit, sow these fruits that reap wonderful things, reap eternity, that cause others to see Jesus, point others to Christ. Turn with me to James 1 and verses 21 to 25. I read these verses last week and spent a lot of time thinking about them. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In verse 21, we have the call to forsake sin and receive the word of God, which is able to save our souls. The word of God helps us see our sin and shows us what we need to do to inherit eternal life. It shows us how to sow. It shows us what needs to be forsaken. It shows us what sin is. And it shows us the way to God and how to live in right standing before Him. It is a perfect law of liberty. I like that description of verse 25. It's perfect. It's the pure word of God. It is the will of God for mankind. It is the law for the follower of Jesus to show us the way. It liberates in that it shows us who Jesus is, the Savior of the world, and how He can cleanse us and empower us to live above sin and sow seed that will reap eternal life. What is the reaping? Verse 25, a man who looks into this perfect law and continues there, spends much time and diligence endeavoring to understand what God's will is for his life and is a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed. We will find blessing in this life, but we will most certainly find tremendous blessing in our future life. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the blessing of being able to be with Him in glory someday if we are faithful. Galatians 6, verse 9. Yet, in closing, let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season the harvest will come. Someday we will need to stand before God and give an account of our life. What will the reaping be? What do you want it to be? Let's take courage. Let's not become weary in well-doing. Let's sow to the Spirit. Let's make our calling and election sure so that when He calls us home, we are ready to meet Him.